And you're not going to be able to access those feelings of gratitude. For the longest time, I was like, what the heck is a gratitude practice? Like, I don't get it. I would never do that. This totally turns me off. It seems like mumbo jumbo. And I think it's because I was rooted in a place of deep shame, and I literally didn't have access to the part of my experience that would have let me feel grateful. So the first thing that I think it's really important to recognize, and certainly like played a big role in my journey, is that this isn't going to turn off like a switch overnight, and gratitude isn't the way to start the change. The first way to start the change is actually not I'm great or I love my body or I should be grateful for what it can do, but instead I'm not extra screwed up. I'm just regular screwed up. I can look around me and I can see that this experience that I'm having isn't unique to me. I'm not uniquely bad. This is a struggle that people are having all the time, all over the world. Like, if you are a person out there that is struggling with your relationship to food, with your relationship to your body, with what you look like, with your habits, like, you're normal.
Thank you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, George and Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have the CEO and co-founder of Wavelength, the healthy eating app that helps you reduce cravings, stop overeating, and improve your relationship to food and your body for good. For a long period of time, she thought her struggle with dieting was all her fault. She felt so ashamed that she didn't talk to anyone about what she was going through, not even when she was diagnosed with pre-diabetes and PCOS, or had major weight loss surgery and gained the weight back. Taking back her power started with a deeper, kinder understanding of herself. And here I believe that gratitude played an important role, and we will discuss this further. And she was able to let go of the shame and meet her goals in an enjoyable way. You know, Gratitude Seeker, that even if we're perfect for others, if we don't appreciate ourselves and our bodies, it's really challenging to live a fulfilled life. And to talk about this topic, we have Sarah. And we're going to explore this topic. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for being here.
Hi, George, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, firstly, let us know a little bit more about you, about your background.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank you for that great introduction. As you mentioned, I really started struggling with eating and weight and my body and my health at a pretty young age. I was diagnosed with prediabetes at 15, polycystic ovary syndrome, which, if you don't know, is like it's often goes hand in hand with prediabetes and insulin resistance. It's a hormonal imbalance. And then my junior year of high school, for those non-US folks, I was between the ages of 16 and 17. I gained about 150 pounds. And it was awful. I mean, I probably don't have to explain to folks, like, going through that at such a difficult and tender age already just instilled in me the strongest sense of shame about my habits, about what I looked like, about what my body was capable of. And I was really willing to go to very extreme measures to correct this problem, culminating in having weight loss surgery, which is a major surgery with lasting implications. But because I had this sort of underlying dysfunction in my relationship with food, I gained all the weight back after I had the surgery. I lost almost 100 pounds, and then I gained it all back. And my constant companion on this journey was just this deep sense of self-loathing that there was some failing of character that kept me from being able to just like eat in moderation, which was the advice that I was getting from everyone around me. From, you know, doctors telling me to go on Weight Watchers and not understanding why I couldn't stick to it. I think my friends were sympathetic, but they did not understand what was happening to me. And then no voice was louder than my own in my mind of like, why can't I just be normal about this? Why can't I just eat in the way that I know I should eat? The emotional agony of that experience, to be honest with you, like kind of masks my memory of the physical experience. Because I just was in this cage, that I couldn't even really see out of. But my mother, who has a similar journey with her health and her weight, she's a scientist. She's got quite a few advanced degrees, a PhD, and one of her master's degrees is in nutrition science. And we were both kind of going through this together. Obviously, she's significantly older than I am, but she started to ask some questions like, okay, I'm not a person that struggles with self-discipline or willpower in other aspects of my life. Why is this happening to me with food? I literally have an advanced degree in what to eat. What's going on here? And she started digging into not like what should we be eating, but why do we eat and how can we change that? And what she discovered is that, you know, the reasons that we eat are a very complex blend of our neuropsychology, our metabolism, our genetics, our current environment, the relationships that we have. And she really found that what was needed wasn't this like hard line approach to what to eat and when to eat and how much to eat, but instead you've really got to kind of heal the underlying causes of eating, whether it's from a metabolic perspective, or from an emotional one. And so out of that, I lost about 150 pounds. Gosh, whoa. It's been about 12 years ago. My mom lost 170 pounds around the same time frame. And that's really what Wavelength grew out of, was this understanding that it's not as simple as what we eat, and that if you want to make a major change, it's got to start with self-compassion, and it's got to look at the psychosocial neuro components of why and what we eat.
Exactly. And I think the most important part about this is that it takes you into consideration and where you are and where you come from, instead of just having a one-size-fits-all diet or something like this. And yeah, I think it's very important to look at the deeper aspects of why we have some habits, why did we do some things, and why we keep on doing those things. And I'm really curious how you actually managed to let go of the shame. I think it's something really interesting. So the way I see it, at least, it's like, okay, I'm doing something that's not good for my body, and At first, I don't realize that I'm doing it. Afterwards, people might tell me, or I might realize at some point, but I still can't help myself. I'm still doing it. And I think, at least in part, that's how shame gets to be built up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So unlearning shame, I think we actually go about this all wrong in our culture, because we try to unlearn shame by practicing gratitude. But in my experience, that doesn't work. Because shame and gratitude can't coexist. You can look in the mirror and say affirmations. You can try to respect your body. You can intellectualize this process all day long. And at the end of the day, you're going to be left with this experience of shame. And you're not going to be able to access those feelings of gratitude. For the longest time, I was like, what the heck is a gratitude practice? Like, I don't get it. I would never do that. This totally turns me off. It seems like mumbo jumbo. And I think it's because I was rooted in a place of deep shame, and I literally didn't have access to the part of my experience that would have let me feel grateful. So the first thing that I think it's really important to recognize, and certainly like played a big role in my journey, is that this isn't going to turn off like a switch overnight, and gratitude isn't the way to start the change. The first way to start the change is actually not I'm great or I love my body or I should be grateful for what it can do, but instead, am I allowed to curse on this podcast?
We don't usually do that, but
okay. You can cut that part out. But I'm not. I'm not extra screwed up. I'm just regular screwed up. I can look around me and I can see that this experience that I'm having isn't unique to me. I'm not uniquely bad. This is a struggle that people are having all the time, all over the world. Like, if you are a person out there that is struggling with your relationship to food, with your relationship to your body, with what you look like, with your habits, like, you're normal, especially as we start to leave quarantine and re-enter the activities of our daily lives. Like, if you're not struggling with those things, you're in the minority of people. Most of us are grappling with this. And once you can kind of start to accept that, like, I'm not extra bad, I'm just normal, and practice with that for a while, you can really start to feel the shame unwind. And then as the shame starts to unwind, little bursts of gratitude can come through. And you can think like, wow, maybe I do look kind of good today. Or even just like, connect to the pleasure of an experience in a new way, which is really how I experience gratitude. But like starting from that position of I'm normal, I'm not extra bad, is like the first step in eradicating that shame.
Well, I love this perspective. I think, yeah. I love the fact that you started with, okay, gratitude is not the way, at least not at first. And yeah, I think having this perspective, knowing that it's normal, knowing that other people are going through the same kind of experience, like I said in the beginning, even if we are perfect for others, if we don't see it, we're still struggling. And I've seen this. And I've talked with people on the podcast and off the podcast that for me, they were like perfect. And still they didn't feel good about themselves at one point, at least, you know, and it took some work to get them to appreciate themselves and their bodies. And for me, that was very interesting because I thought, okay, if you look great for other people, that means that you also feel great in your body and you feel great about yourself. Well, it's not quite like that. And Exactly as you mentioned, the people that are perfectly comfortable and perfectly happy with their situation, with their relationship, with their bodies, are in the minority, and it's okay. And yeah, this comes from a beautiful place of self-compassion and love, and that's really wonderful.
Yeah, and it's so, what we know about the brain is that when the neurological processes associated with shame are taking place, they actually inhibit our ability to create new behavior. So the more ashamed you are about your eating habits, the harder it's going to be for you to change them. And so when you're trying to approach any habit change, but certainly a habit change or even in a situation where the habit change is too small, and if you're grappling with an addiction, it's not just a nice idea that self-acceptance and self-compassion has to be the first step. It's a biological imperative. If we cannot forgive ourselves, we really will struggle to move through it. And on an experiential level, you can really like feel this happening. When the answer for why we do something, why do I overeat? Why do I have this addiction? Why can't I stop smoking? Is rooted in shame. It really stifles curiosity. And so you hear this play out, like, why can't I stop eating? Why did I eat that entire pan of brownies? Well, because I suck, because I'm like a weak person. There's no room for further exploration there. But if you can flip that switch and say, I'm just a person operating under the conditions that all people are operating under, why did I eat that pan of brownies? Then you might actually get an answer. Well, I had a really stressful day at work and they were there. Or actually, this happens every time I'm exposed to huge quantities of sugar. And it's really not about, it's not about the quality of your being. It's just about biology and sort of circumstance. And when you can start to tease that apart, you can start to change it. But shame really blocks our ability to see what's going on, because the answer to every question, every time we ask why, is just because I'm bad.
Yeah, that's such a great point. It's actually the way we speak with ourselves and the questions that we ask and the way we direct the focus of our brain. And like you said, it has great power, but if we direct it towards, okay, why am I doing these things? It can give you answers, but it doesn't give you answers that are actually going to help you.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, I love this perspective, and I think it's incredibly powerful to start with that, right? To start to ask different questions in those situations. And I was wondering, okay, what our audience might be thinking. Okay, I'm more accepting of my behaviors, of my eating habits, but I am being hard on myself so that I won't do that again. If I'm too easy with myself, then it means that I will continue the habit, you know?
Yeah. This is the question that comes up whenever we try to undertake compassion-based change, because we have this feeling that the shame is the only thing, the self-criticism is the only thing that's standing between me and the abyss, right? If I didn't hate my body, if I wasn't ashamed of my eating habits, like, wouldn't I just go off the rails? Isn't this something that I have to like really try to control? And like, those ideas are not going to go away overnight. We talk about guardrails and wavelength, and this is certainly like my experience. I was not ready to let go of my perceived guardrails at the jump. And so like, if you're a person that counts and tracks your food, if you're a person that, you know, feels like self-criticism is motivating to you, like you can keep You can keep doing those things and eventually they will stop feeling useful. But the truth of the matter is that you've had this narrative your entire life. Like, the first question I always ask is, well, how's it worked out so far? Like, is that self-criticism actually getting you where you want to go? And I've never heard yes. I've never heard, yeah, it's totally working. I'm completely in check. My behavior is exactly the way that I want it to be. And so often what I ask people to do is just approach this as a low stakes experiment. You don't have to think, I'm doing this the perfect way so that I will make the perfect change and be perfect. You can think, well, this might be nonsense, but I'm going to try it for a couple of weeks. What do I have to lose? If I hate it, I can stop. And what you'll find is that as you drop that self-criticism, as you kind of move into a place of self-acceptance, your capacity to make change really increases because you're no longer experiencing this cycle of I'm going hard, I'm making all the rules, and then I can't stick to them because of X, Y, Z reason. I fall off the wagon. I hate myself. I spiral out of control, rinse and repeat. Instead, you're like, oh, that was interesting information. How can I incorporate this into what happens next time? And progress feels really fast. You start to feel a lot better, right? Like that inner critic gets quiet. And you're having a lot better time. And all of a sudden, things that were not possible for you before are happening because you're not kind of trapped in this unproductive cycle of strict rules, failure, shame, binge.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we owe it to ourselves to at least try it, to at least see what happens, to test it out, because this will stay with us if we're not open to just being playful and try it. This will stay with us for all of our lives. So we won't be missing something if we give it a go for a while. And it can lead to a different kind of life, because the things that are happening inside of us actually make us see our life in a certain way. So I believe that's quite important. And on this note, I was I am very curious on how was your experience with gratitude after you managed to overcome this part, to let go of the shame?
Yeah, it was a long, slow journey for me, because what I found was that my shame didn't like let go all at once. It let go in different places at different times, and then it would rear its head again, because it's like anything. We learn it over time, and it takes time to unlearn it. It's a habit. And I had to get to a place where I wasn't in shame most of the time before that gratitude could start to creep in. And it took me, I actually really remember the very first time I experienced it and realized that what I was experiencing was gratitude. And it didn't sound like, thank you for this, thank you for that. I was on a run in the woods, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, trees. Like, what is happening here? Look at these trees. It's so crazy that I'm here. I'm alive. These trees are here. They're alive. In all of history, in all of the universe, this is happening right now. And I just had this, like, I felt like this mundane activity. I was not looking for it. And gratitude showed up for me in the biggest way. And I realized that for me, gratitude isn't going to sound like thank you. And maybe it will be eventually. Maybe that's later in my journey. But for me, gratitude sounds like wow. Wow. Mm. I can't believe I get to experience this. And one thing that I think really gets missed in the way that we talk about health and wellness right now, although it has been present at other points in history, is how important pleasure is for health. And for me, all of a sudden, I was like, wow, food. Wow, bodies. This is amazing. The improbability of it all is spectacular. And that's how it shows up for me now. And I think if you're a person that struggles with gratitude and you're like me and thank you isn't hitting home, look for wow. Because that once I realized that I was experiencing gratitude, a whole world of things to be grateful for opened up to me.
That's amazing. I always love when people are creative and somehow out of the box with this. It's even in the gratitude journals, it's not a must to do it in the way most people do it. I'm grateful for or something like this. It can be like you just shared with us that moment in the woods. Even if you didn't say thank you, it's clear for all of us that it was gratitude and that you were grateful for that. And I love this example, and I think it's so powerful because we get to experience gratitude, and it doesn't have to be in a certain way, and that's the beauty of it. And when you mentioned wow food, I was thinking, actually feeling how my body feels when I'm thinking about a food and I'm thinking wow food, that it's flowing, like inside of my body, it's a flow. Mm. When I'm thinking about shame, I'm feeling like it's stuck somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense to me. And I think my experience mirrors that too. The shame feels closed down. Mm-hmm. And when I think, wow, or thank you, I still, you know what, honestly, even saying it now, I can't really access thank you. I think probably this will come later as my practice develops, but I just feel it move through my body. And I feel very connected to you and this conversation and everything. And I want to flag that, like, this is, I would say I'm like gratitude resistant. Like, I'm not a person who thought that I would be saying something like, I feel in flow, I feel connected, but it's there, it's undeniable. And when it hits you, like, your resistance to it seems a little silly, and you see like, oh, I just didn't get it yet.
Yeah, exactly. Once you experience it, it makes so much sense. And, you feel it in your body, you experience it, and it's something different. And it's one of the reasons why I started the podcast, because I wanted to help as many people to experience the sense of gratitude, the sense of flow, because it's really something amazing that we have access to, and that actually makes our life much easier and much more fulfilled. So I really love your perspective on this, and I think it's really nice to have it so simple and not complicated with certain words or so, but just let it be somehow. Mm-hmm. And appreciate the experience, and just be with it. I think it's it's such a wonderful idea, and I'm really happy that it's actually proven, basically scientifically, that it's helpful for us, and it improves not just our eating habits, but also what we appreciate about ourselves. And on this note, I'm really curious if you want to share with us like a story when you felt like something like, whoa, Sarah, looking in the mirror or something.
You know, I think that one thing that's been great about this journey is that, like, what I started thinking about as body shame, I realized was actually like something different going on as I moved through. That my sense of self-worth was connected to what I looked like because I didn't have like a core sense of who I was, or my value is just like a being that exists. I couldn't connect to those ideas at all. And so for me, the journey has really been about like recentering my sense of self-worth. And so now I rarely have profound moments that are connected to my, what I look like. Like, I'm able to see that my body and what I look like is part of my diverse experience. And there's going to be some things I don't like about it. And there's going to be some things that I do like about it. But it's just like one thing among many things that make up who I am. The most profound, and it really, the journey really started with me and trying to like get out from under this body shame, but it became this much more whole being experience. And so when I think like, well, what's a moment where I feel really grateful for being myself? It's not about what I look like. I used to feel really trapped under resentments about how much I do for other people. And mm-hmm. part of this journey for gratitude has become like, wow, I'm really good at helping people. I see what people need and I can give it to them. And it's fun for me. I can enjoy it. I don't have to feel put upon. It can feel like this great gift that I can just go around offering people. And so I think when you asked me that question of like a moment where I felt, wow, it's great to be Sarah, it's like, I'm really good at giving presents. And like, I recently gave my friend a gift that just delighted the heck out of him. And I felt it. I was like, I'm so glad that I have this ability to see what people need and what they want and how to make them have a good time. And so that's been a really profound shift for me.
I love it. And I love the fact that you're so aware of yourself and also so aware of the depth of the question and what it actually means. And yes, we are our bodies, but we are so much more as well, and we have so many things to appreciate about ourselves. And I just love how much you're able to appreciate this gift of giving great gifts. And I think it's something so important for us to take the time to find these kinds of things that we appreciate about ourselves and share them with the world, because it's such a different energy as well. Like, instead of that feeling of resentment, feeling joyful and grateful for your ability, it's such a different energy. And if this is who we are and how we are, isn't it much better to appreciate it?
And it's, you know, again, it's not like flipping a switch. Like, I certainly still feel resentful sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I'm having these moments where it feels easier and it feels joyful. And you know, it's like with anything, the clearer your sense of self-understanding and self-worth becomes, the easier it is to see when it's something joyful that you're able to offer and when another person should really be stepping up, right? This is another way of saying your boundaries get better. And so the other side of this gratitude is that I can say also, that's not my responsibility. I'm sorry. I don't do that. Or I can't do that for you today now. And so it's really like coming at something from both sides. It's not just feeling grateful and joyful about what's happening, but it's also being able to see what's happening that you don't like with clarity and say, I'm going to create a different experience for myself here.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And yeah, it's true. It's true. It's being resourceful enough and being clear enough in ourselves that we can do this. And yeah, of course, this leads to a much better life experience and to just a better life, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
So we are nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience get the app, what they can find on it, and everything else that we haven't been able to share on the podcast about this wonderful app.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to talk about it. So if you, Gratitude Seekers, this is just for you, visit wavelength.live/gratitude. And what you'll find, the app is all audio-based, so you'll hear my voice like you have now quite a lot. And what we do is we take people through a step-by-step journey to build healthier eating habits. And you listen to a 5 to 7 minute audio episode every day, and you're given activities, mindfulness assignments, and prompts to do throughout the day. And eventually we start to talk about nutrition. But first we really deal with mindset, both from a growth mindset perspective and letting go of shame, which we talk about here. But then we start to also look at some of the neurological and emotional components that drive us to seek comfort from food, make sure we have a rich understanding of that, and then we dive into nutrition. But what we see is that about 72% of folks that start using the app regularly feel better about their eating choices and closer to their health goals within the first week. So that inner critic quiets right away and you start taking steps to get closer to where you want to go, whether that's changing the way that you eat so that you can lose weight, whether it's changing the way that you eat so that you can manage a diagnosis like prediabetes or high cholesterol, progress starts happening quite fast. And it's really all built on this foundation of self-compassion, self-acceptance, and then once we're ready for it, gratitude.
Wow. That's wonderful. I totally encourage you, my dear gratitude seekers, to check it out. It's available on the App Store and on Google Play, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. So if you're on an iPhone or on a Google device, you can access it and enjoy the process. I think it's something wonderful that Sarah was generous enough to create and to put out there. And I think it's something that was very much needed in nowadays. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being so present and so calm. My people tend to tell me that I have a calm voice. I think I've got to meet someone that has a very similar vibe in her voice. So,
It's funny that you should say that because I think I don't consider myself a calm person. I think I'm pretty energetic, but this is not the first time I've gotten that feedback. So we can't always see ourselves perfectly.
Exactly. But that's what I heard, and I'm sure that our listeners have heard this as well. And thank you for the work that you're doing, and Gratitude Seekers, check out Wavelength. I'll have the link in the description so that it's easier for you to access it and enjoy this experience. So Sarah, thank you once again for being here with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Georgian.